here in your presence, we are undone.
Hi, I'm Pastor Carolyn. Welcome to In His Presence, a production of Rapha Healing Ministries, where we bring worship and the Word together so that you may be encouraged and receive revelation of God's healing power emotionally, physically, and spiritually. May it bring transformation to your spirit, soul, and body. These teachings and worship sessions were conducted at various times and various locations. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired as you hear the truth of God's Word as it is brought to you by Pastor Bill. Now, please join us as the service is already in progress. The name of this song tonight is Running. And I probably shouldn't talk before I sing it because I might start crying. Because the words are so amazing. It says, I hear the voice of the one I love. He's calling my name. He's saying, come up higher. Come up higher, my beloved. I want to be with you. You're beautiful. You know who's saying that? Jesus is saying it to his bride. He's saying it to his bride. And then the response back is, I'm running after you, Lord, because you become my soul's delight. I'm running after you because in you I find my life.
Voice of the one I love, he's calling my name. I hear the voice of the one I love, he's calling my name.
He's saying, come up higher.
He's calling my name. I hear the voice of the one I love. He's calling my name.
He's saying, come up higher and hear the angels sing. Come up higher.
Delight. I am running,
You become my soul's delight. I am running after you. Here with you I find my life. One thing have I desired, this will I seek after, to dwell in your house forevermore. Now I'm running after the thing that really matters. You become my joy and song.
You become my song.
You become my joy and song.
You become my song.
You become my joy and song.
You become my song.
Special scripture to me, and I'm sure to a lot of you also. Perry Stone had mentioned the other night that those of us in the body of Christ seem to be getting attacked from a lot of different levels lately. It's because he knows that we're out to do some work that is going to help sink him at the end. And this scripture is used in a lot of occasions, but I think it's one that we can all use on a daily basis as Satan is attacking us through our daily lives. This is a version of another version of Psalm 23 for you from Keith Green.
Psalm 23.
want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul and guides my path in righteousness for his name's sake. Surely goodness and love and kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Thank you so much for being with us in our worship service. Now, please stay with us as Pastor Bill brings us the message.
So what I want to do tonight is I want to talk about and discuss God's compassion, what it is, why it's similar to sympathy and empathy, but different. I also want to look then at how God releases his compassion into people's lives, and the important part then that all of us get to play in that to accomplish this end. So let me begin tonight by asking you a question. Why is God's compassion so important? Why is it so important? I mean, the Bible talks about it. And if we were to look at this and go into the New Testament especially, we would see that if you were going to enter into the healing ministry without compassion, we would miss why Jesus did what he did. We would miss why our Heavenly Father even sent him. We would also miss an anointing that begins to flow as we pray for others in Jesus' name. Now, compassion is a key that is going to bring change to us. right now. One of the things that's very important, there's something about compassion that causes things to change, not out in the future, but right now. It affects both us and also those that we pray for. And so my question then is, what is compassion and what is the difference between sympathy, empathy, and the word compassion? Now, you know that I love to do word studies, especially in Greek and Hebrew. And if you were to look into Mark and Matthew and Luke, there's a Greek word there called splanknidzomai. Now, don't ask me to spell that, but it's called splanknidzomai. And it's used some 12 times in these gospel accounts. And that word has a very special meaning. It means to have your bowels moved. And usually when they talk about that, they're talking about the intestinal area. And this was thought to be the seat of love and pity because they looked at compassion as a sensation. It is something that a person felt. And it started deep within, and it would begin to move things, in, as it were, in the pit of your stomach. There's something that just happens. It just begins to cry out for a change. A change, though, in somebody else's life. I was reminded the other day when I was working on this of how that compassion at least works in my own life. Carolyn and I have been ministering to a woman who is in hospice care. The story is quite long. She was a nurse that developed SARS, and in the process of trying to bring healing to her, they put her into full-blown diabetes. And in that full-blown diabetes, her intestinal tract stopped, and her vision, she's just about lost her vision completely. She's on a feeding tube, and over the last 3 years, just continually been going down. She called the church where we are, and they prayed for her. There's a TV ministry, and the TV counselor prayed for her. And then she left a prayer request on our prayer line and asked if there was someone that believed in healing prayer, would they come, and would they anoint her with oil and pray the prayer of faith? And so we went over, and we anointed her with oil. We prayed the prayer of faith. But from that time, everything has begun to change. There wasn't a miracle where suddenly she was instantly healed, but suddenly, all of a sudden, now her labs have come back normal, first time in 3 years. Another thing is that her eyesight is beginning to return. She originally saw just shapes, and now she can actually begin to read things, and so her eyesight is returning. So as she's getting all of these great and wonderful things that are happening, I got a phone call early in the morning on a Friday morning. The day before, she stood up, and as she stood up, she passed out. And when she passed out, she fell and broke her left tibia, and she also split her kneecap. And she was calling because they had taken her to the hospital that night. They had put a cast on, they took the x-rays, they saw what it was, and they said to her, well, the reason that you fell was that your blood pressure bottomed. And what that meant was that they took her off her blood pressure medication. She had extremely high blood pressure, but now she was no longer needing that. That's a heck of a way to find out that you don't need blood pressure medication. Because she had fallen and then broken things, and she didn't want to call late at night because she felt it was too late. So here it is early in the morning. So I prayed with her over the phone. I told her that we would come and pray with her. But my point is that when I got off the phone, suddenly there was something down deep inside of me that just kind of welled up, and I found myself crying. It came out of the innermost part of me. There was a cry for her that, you know, God, it's time to see changes in this woman's life. It is time to see all of these things change. That I didn't want her to suffer anymore and that her leg would heal quickly. And what that was, this was God's compassion working its way through my life so that I could pray with fervency and I could pray with power. It was a cry for mercy. and compassion. And I believe that God heard that cry, because let me tell you the rest of the story. A week later, she went to an orthopedic surgeon. They had the x-rays from the hospital. And the nurse kind of, they put her down, and this one nurse starts moving her kneecap. And all of a sudden, the nurse says to her, "This doesn't hurt?" And the woman said, "No, it doesn't hurt." And she's pushing it all over. They took another x-ray, and the kneecap is totally and completely healed. What would take weeks was healed within a week. And the break on her leg was what they call a clean break. I'm not sure if any break is clean, but this was a clean break, so they didn't need to perform the surgery. All they need to do is leave it in a cast. Now, I believe that God heard all of our prayers. And it was, for me, though, it was one of those things where there was this compassion, there was this stirring within, and it just completely flooded my being with love and concern for someone else. As I said, we don't really have time tonight to really go into real depth study on this word, but the word refers to God's compassion and specifically to God's response in Jesus Christ. When we look into the New Testament and we look at the word compassion and where it's used, there is a response to those who are hungry, to those who are sick and have the needs, and to the suffering that Jesus encountered as he walked on this earth. If you were to do a word study in the dictionary, you would see that compassion, it actually comes from the root Latin word passion, which means to suffer. So therefore, compassion means to suffer with. When we have compassion, we suffer with someone, because compassion is powerful. There's a deep awareness of someone else's suffering and affects you in such a way that you don't want them to suffer. You hate that. You want to do everything you can to change that. Well, then what's the difference between compassion or sympathy or even empathy? Well, let's look at the words. If you're looking at the word sympathy, it sees what is happening and it says, "I'm sorry." Sympathy sees what's going on and it says, "I'm sorry." Sympathy is being sad about what is happening to another person, their sadness or pain or their situation. When we begin to look at empathy, empathy sees what is happening and it says, "I feel your pain." So now there's a feeling element. We see certain things, but we also feel it. We understand what somebody else is going through, either because we've gone through it ourselves, or we can put ourselves into their shoes. We can empathize with them. Now, compassion can feel the sorrow, it can feel the pain, and it whispers, "I'll help." It's able to see, it's able to feel, but it says, "I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to help." Compassion makes a determination, a decision to personally help, to become personally involved, to be a part of the solution, to not just sit on the sideline, but to be involved in another person's life. And the result of compassion is then not some sort of detached concern or kind words. There's always personal involvement and action, because compassion reaches out to the person who is broken or hurting and brings comfort and healing to the sick and brokenhearted. Many of you can quote the verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, and Paul said this: "We are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." The word burden there refers to a heavy, crushing load, which really one person is not going to be able to handle. And so what Paul is saying to the church is, he's saying, "Church, listen, bear one another's burdens. Help bear up that crushing load that has somebody so bowed down that they can hardly carry this themselves. You go out there and you help bear it. You go out there and help carry it. Because when you do that, you fulfill something called the law of Christ. Now, what is the law of Christ? Well, it would be nice if the Bible would just give us a definition of it, but there's no precise statement that says this is the law of Christ. But what we do know is that Jesus was asked a question once in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 28. And the question, what was this? It was from a lawyer. And the lawyer said, which is the most important commandment? And in verse 29, Jesus answered him, and he said, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so if we understand what Jesus is saying, then basically, for me at least, the law of Christ refers to the law of love, and it has its focus on loving God and loving my neighbor as myself. Because when I love God, when I recognize what Jesus did for me and the sacrifice that he made for me, then my response because of that is, out of love for him, is that I am grateful and obedient, and I'm going to love others in the same way. Because of what I've received, now that causes me now to want to give that back to someone else. For me to love others means that compassion must be a part of my everyday lifestyle. And I look for ways to serve and to help others in the same way that Jesus did in his earthly ministry. Now, there are a number of examples in the New Testament as we look at the ministry of Jesus as far as compassion. Let me just give you four of them just to give you a little flavor. You can write these verses down if you want, and then look them up later. But Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14, we find the story about John the Baptist, who was killed or beheaded. And when Jesus found out that this had taken place, he says to his disciples, I want to leave and I want to go away. I want to go to a place where I can just think about this. I can be by myself. And so Jesus left and went to a deserted place. But as you know the story, the people followed him. John the Baptist was his cousin. And now his cousin had been killed. And Jesus, I believe, just wanted to be alone. But he couldn't, because the multitude needed him. And so the Bible says that when Jesus went out, he saw this great multitude that was out there, and he was moved with compassion, splanknidzomai. And he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, there were two blind men that came to him. The Lord looked at them, and he said to them, what do you want me to do? And in verse 33, they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. In verse 34, so Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. In Mark chapter 1, verse 41, we read the story of the man with leprosy. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and he touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And the Bible says that as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now, if any of you have an NIV and you look at this verse, you're going to see a little different translation here. Most of our English translations say that Jesus was moved with compassion. And yet there are certain Greek manuscripts, and we don't really read the original Greek manuscripts, but some of the scholars do. And there's one called Codex Beza, And basically what that Codex Beza said, it doesn't use the word splanknizomai there, but it says that Jesus was filled with anger. Interesting. He was filled with anger. And this is picked up then in the NIV because the NIV translates that verse as Jesus was indignant. If you have the New Living Translation, you'll see there they've got a footnote at the bottom, and the footnote says that Jesus was moved with anger. What I want you to do is to kind of hold on to that alternate translation, because I want to comment it at the closing. And finally, the last one I just want to share with you is Luke chapter 7, verse 13. And it talks about the widow's son who was dead. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, the Bible says that he had compassion upon her and said to her, "Do not weep." And then he came and he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the Bible says that the young man was brought back to life and given back to his mother because he saw her weeping and the need that she had. As I said, compassion reaches out to the person who is broken or hurting, and it brings comfort and healing to the sick and brokenhearted. Now, as we look at those passages, this is exactly what Jesus did. Jesus was concerned about what was happening in each person's life, and he responded to people who needed him the most. And as people came to him asking for mercy, as he looked at the people and the plight that they were in, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion, and he did something about what he saw. Jesus was God's response in the flesh. Do you understand that? The Old Testament, most of the people saw God as somebody who was strict. He was the lawgiver, and if they broke the law, they had to bring all these sacrifices. He was someone who was there to punish them. And yet God sent his own only Son so that we would see the Father's real heart and his real response. Jesus was God's response in the flesh, because Jesus came to reveal his Father so that mankind would know who God really is and also what was important to him. Every little thing in a person's life was important to him. Now, let me make a point here. On a human level, true compassion is not all about what we may say or even about what we feel. Because one of the differences, as I was giving you sympathy and empathy and then compassion, true compassion is more about our response and what we do in responding to the suffering and pain of others. Let me give you an example here. You all know and read and seen all the things that happened in Moore, Oklahoma, back on May 20th when that tornado came through. Or you can look at the destruction that happened with Hurricane Sandy back at the end of October in 2012. Now, I don't know about you, but because I live in Richmond, Virginia area, and Oklahoma's way out there and some other things are up north, it is hard for me to really connect with everything that those people have suffered. But I can be moved with godly compassion by the actions that I take to help eliminate the things that are going on in their lives. For us as humans, sometimes feelings will follow our actions, but that's never true of God. And that's a distinction I want to make. We may not always be able to feel what a person that's going through the suffering may have felt, But that's not true of our Heavenly Father. Because the Bible says that God is moved with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. In fact, Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that Jesus became like us so that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest and able to help us and come to our aid in our time of testing and suffering. He knows what each of us are going through because he has been here. He was here and experienced similar things when he was with us. That's one of the reasons why Jesus came in the flesh, so he could experience it firsthand. And because he did, Jesus is not God who is afar off. He's not cold. He's not detached. He's not aloof somewhere. Rather, he can empathize with us during our time of need, and he can feel what we feel. And the beautiful thing is, as he feels that, he is moved to do something about it. And we call that compassion. That is who he is. That is his nature. That's his character. And he doesn't change. And he's not a respecter of persons in that he won't just heal one person and leave somebody else to suffer. He heals all. The Bible is quite clear. Jesus healed all who came to him. There were no exceptions. So if you're here tonight and you are in need, if you need Jesus to touch you, if you need Jesus to bring healing to your physical body, he is here and he is concerned about you. He understands what you're going through, and he is sensitive to your needs, and he wants to meet those needs. Now, since this is true, let me ask you a question. How? How will he do that? How does Jesus have compassion upon us now that he is in heaven? Because remember what I said, Jesus is God's response in the flesh. And so how is Jesus going to then minister that compassion to those that are in need? And my answer is that Jesus is going to work through his church. And it will be done in different ways for different people. The Bible says that when two or three of us are gathered together in his name, what happens? He's here. So there are more than two or three that are gathered together tonight in his name. And that means he is here right now. His presence is here now. He's not some far away. He is here. His presence is here. And as you are here in his presence, then Jesus can touch you. And so suddenly you can be made whole. No one needs to speak a word to you. No one needs to lay a hand upon you. But everything can change by the power of God that is present to heal. One of the reasons why we have the healing services is, or even the soaking services, is to bring us into God's presence. I remember one night we were up in the old sanctuary, and there was a person that came in that night, and he was sitting there, the worship was going on, and suddenly he jumps up and he said, "My eyes are healed." Nobody said anything to him, nobody prayed for him, nobody laid a hand on him. Just sitting in the Lord's presence, his eyes were totally healed. How many of you know who Reinhard Bunke is? A couple of you do. Reinhard Bunke has an evangelistic ministry in Africa. When he has a crusade, millions, millions of people come. And so there was a newsletter, and they were recounting of a woman who came to a Christ for All Nations crusade some 20 years ago. She'd come to the crusade, and she was paralyzed from the waist down. So the only way that she could get around was she would crawl, and basically she would crawl on her hands, and that's how, unless somebody picked her up, put her in a cart or something else, the only way to get from point A to point B was to crawl. And she'd heard about one of Bunke's crusades, and so I don't know how many miles it was, but she crawled all the way to the crusade. And they said that when she got there, she was covered in mud and filth and everything else. But she had said that if I can just get there, I know I will be healed. And as the account goes, that she crawled onto the crusade grounds, these huge grounds that were there. And as she did, the presence of God hit her, and she stood up, and she's been walking for the last 20 years. Just the power of God touched her physical body. She stood up, and she was instantly and totally healed of all paralysis. And she started walking, and she never looked back. And now 20 years later, she came to the crusade in Nairobi, Kenya, and began to testify and give glory to God for all the things that had happened through this awesome power. God can just use your sitting here. Remember Peter's shadow? He just walked along, and people put those that were sick out in the road. And as he walked by, the power and presence of God that was with Peter brought healing to them. Peter was one who carried the presence with him. And it's wonderful when miracles just happen. But another way, a main method that God uses to release his compassion is through other Christians who will pray. Pray for you and also help you. The Bible is quite clear. As Christians, we become the hands and the arms and the heart of Jesus to this world. We are to enter into his compassion and help him release it to those who are in need. We become the instruments of God's compassion on this earth to you and to others because we love God and we love you. I mean, Cliff was talking about the series that's going to be coming up. This is exactly the things, exactly what we need to have within our own personal lives. As we do, the Bible says that we then bear one another's burdens. And we fulfill the law of Christ. We fulfill the law of love. Showing compassion does not mean that we always pray for someone else. Sometimes it means just going over and helping somebody clean their house or bring in a meal or cut the grass, or pay a power bill, or take care of the children. Because of all of these concerns, that person who is sick or weighed down, I mean, I told you the woman that we've been ministering to, she has all kinds of bills. The grass was about 3 feet high, and her landlord said, because her lawnmower broke, if the grass doesn't get cut, it's a $150 fine, and you're going to be evicted. There are all these concerns that were weighing down on her, and she just needed someone to show compassion to her and to help her. And so what I'm saying is that sometimes it isn't just going up and laying hands on somebody and praying a prayer. Sometimes we need to get personally involved in their life in such a way that we begin to lift those burdens off so that they can breathe again. So that they can feel like it's okay. I'm going to make it. And that was one of the things we've seen over and over again. The pressures come and people just kind of say, I'm not going to make it. And that's where you and I can come and we can begin to lift those burdens off. God has asked us as a Christian to help. In James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, what James says is very clear. Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, and eat well, but you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Well, it doesn't do any good. One of the defining characteristics of the early church was not just that they saw miracles, not just that they saw healings, not just that they saw deliverances. Now, all of that was good, and it brought people to them. But one of the defining characteristics was there was a church father by the name of Tertullian, and he was there in Rome, and the Roman pagans would say to him, look at how they love one another. That's what the pagans saw. That's what brought them to Christ, because they saw the heart of the Father reaching out to help those who had no other help. They saw how they loved one another. And as I said, compassion means that we feel their pain and personally get involved to help change things. Let me make a comment in closing. I talked about Mark chapter 1. The leper had begged Jesus to make him clean. And as that request went out, Jesus, the Bible said, was moved with compassion. He reached out a hand, he touched him, and he said, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the man was made clean. But as I said to you, in some other translations, your NIV, your New Living Testament, they don't use the word compassion there. They either use the word indignation or anger. And in that one codex, there is a Greek word, oragidzo, which means to provoke to anger or to arouse to anger. And this is the same word that is used in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, where the Bible says, "Be angry, but sin not, don't let the sun go down on your wrath." Being angry isn't sin, but it can become sin if we don't use it properly. And when you look at that passage where it says that Jesus was angry, I believe that he was not angry at the leper because of his condition. I believe that Jesus was angry at the consequences of sin and how it had robbed this man of an abundant life. God the Father created everything good, and yet Satan and the resulting sin of Adam has basically messed everything up. In God's original plan, there wasn't any sickness or disease. I want you to understand that, because there are people that say, "Well, I'm suffering for God to bring him glory." God's original plan was that there be no sickness or disease. There wasn't any poverty or lack. There wasn't any emotional hurts or broken hearts. There wasn't any pain or suffering. And yet now there is pain, there is suffering, there is lack, there is want. And Jesus got angry. He got angry. He was provoked to anger. He was moved to anger because of what was happening to God's creation. And so what did he do? He reached out a hand with compassion. He reached out to do something that would change this man's life. Because I really believe that he felt the loneliness. He felt the isolation because of this disease. He felt the shame and humiliation because of the leprosy. And this man was considered an outcast. And it angered him with a righteous indignation within him. And I believe it motivated him to do something. This man was considered unclean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. And he said, "I will be clean." I remember a healing service a number of years ago. I was coming down the prayer line, and there was a woman who was there, and I stopped, and I began to listen to her story. And this normally doesn't happen, but for that night, as she began to tell me all the things that were happening and this disease that was kind of taking over her entire body and how old she was fairly young, and her husband and her child, suddenly something inside of me just began to rise up. And it was like, I got angry. I was furious. The problem was that when I began to pray with the woman, that anger spilled out, and all of a sudden I looked, and her eyes were about as big as saucers, and she looked at me like, "Are you angry at me?" And I had to stop myself and apologize, because I had to tell her that I wasn't angry at her, but I was angry at the devil that had filled her body with cancer. I was angry at what was happening because she was not living the abundant life that Jesus wanted her to. And I desperately wanted to see things change for her. I wanted her to be well, and I knew that Jesus wanted her well too. He didn't bear those stripes so this woman could suffer with cancer. Understand that. He didn't take those things on his back to be beaten like that so that somebody else would have to take that. He bore them so she could live free from cancer and have an abundant life. And I was there standing in front of her to proclaim and enforce that new covenant which was signed and sealed by his blood. And he had given me the authority to bind and to loosen on this earth so that she would be delivered and set free. And he's given that to you too. Every one of you that call upon the name of the Lord, every one of you has the power and the authority to change things on this earth with the compassion of Jesus Christ to see change in other people's lives. Let me make a very important point. God's ability to heal shows us his amazing dunamis power. Thank goodness for the power of God. Thank goodness for the creative miracles of God. That there is that kind of power that can change things. But his willingness to heal reveals his compassion. His willingness to heal reveals the love that he has for everyone. Not just for a few, for everyone. It is God's compassionate, amazing love that reaches out, and from that love, power flows to create and change things. And that love, that compassion, made this leper whole. If you've ever said to yourself, I know that God can heal, but will he heal me? Your answer is in Mark chapter 1, verse 41. Jesus said, I will. And if he did it for a leper, he will do it for you. For God is no respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2, verse 11, and Acts chapter 10, verse 34. So whatever your needs are tonight, if you are sick or hurting and you need a miracle, please understand this. Jesus hurts with you. He is angry at who and what has you bound and holds you captive, and he wants to do something about it. Not tomorrow, not next week, not in the great by and by. We won't need it when we see him face to face. We need it now. You need it now. And he's here tonight because there are more than two or three gathered in his name. His presence is here. He is here. The power of the Lord is here to bring healing into people's lives. And so what I want to do is I want to call our prayer team up. And if you will, whatever your need is, will you allow the Lord's compassion to flow by allowing them to help carry your burden to his throne of grace, so that you can receive mercy and find grace to help in your own time of need. Would you pray with me? And then we'll have the prayer team come. Heavenly Father, we ask tonight, you have placed within us your love. And that love motivates us because of your compassion. Because it starts down deep within inside of us. And it just floods us, and it reaches out. We see what you see. We experience what you experience. We reach out with a hand just as you did, Jesus. And we pray and we support and we help. Because you want people to know that there is mercy and grace and compassion for those who are in need. That you see what others are going through, and you just don't walk on by. You want to do something about it. And Lord, you've given that responsibility, as it were, and that joy to us, so that we can be your hands, and we can be your arms, and we can be your heart, and we can be your mouth, and we can be that one that does those things that will bring change into somebody else's life. And as you work through us, you also change us. We are being conformed into your image. We are being transformed from glory to glory. We are becoming like you. Lord, rend our hearts. Change our hearts. May they not be cold. May they not in any way not be able to feel what you feel. Let us feel, mighty God, in a way that would so revolutionize our lives that in this community, as it was in the first century, the people around would look and say, my, how they love one another. And there would be that ability then to share that love with a dying world. Father, tonight, may your healing virtue flow through the hands and through the lips of those that you would anoint to pray for those that are in need. We thank you for this service tonight, God, and we give you the glory for it. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Here in your presence, we are undone.
Hi, thank you for listening to our program, In His Presence. Our prayer is that God has spoken to you as you were in His presence. We hope that you will listen again. If you have heard something that has been a blessing to you, please tell others. If you would like to have Pastors Bill and Carolyn speak at your organization, please contact us through our website. If you would like to help support Rapha Healing Ministries, please go to our donations page on RaphaHMI.org. All donations are tax deductible. In His Presence is a production of Rapha Healing Ministries based in Midlothian, Virginia, and Jensen Beach, Florida.